interaction very creative. I'm sure it sinks to our minds. Right, into the third week in Ruth, we had the two younger guys the previous weeks, and you got the old man today. Right? IQ question first. Hold for a moment before, if you know the answers, right? What kind of man was Boaz before he got married with Ruth? Venus, you know that. I asked you before, I think. Anyone else know? Put up your hands if you know the answer. Okay, James, you know. Caleb, all these biblical scholars. Okay, all right. Answer is ruthless. Surely he was not a ruthless man. He was actually quite a young man. Quite a kind-hearted man. He was willing to let people to glean in his field, while in the time of Judges, probably not too many people was willing. All right. So, Ruth 3. I call it bittersweet. Right? You heard about the interaction about these mother-in-law, the daughter-in-law, and then Boaz. And you heard about the story, okay? It's actually quite a climax in chapter 3, all right? You see, from chapter 1, there was kind of a famine. But then into chapter 3, you can see a family coming, all right? And started from funerals, well, three people died in chapter 1, right? And you can see a foreseeable wedding. I can see a foreseeable wedding coming up in a month's time. A kind of PCBC and CACC United event, right? Looking forward to it, right? But you see, in this chapter, in these three, four chapters of Ruth, you can see God's sovereign hand, sovereign plan behind all these. And with rich blessings, but somehow, God allowed human participation. It's quite amazing. Michael, yeah. Just wonder how God will be so personal to us, right? He reaches down to a fallible man like me, like you. It's quite amazing. So let's have a look at the book here, the chapter. In chapter 3, Naomi kind of presented an unusual request. My title is Unusual Request. It's quite unusual, right, for a mother-in-law to tell his daughter-in-law to go and find a man. Who on earth, who are the mothers-in-laws here? Any mother-in-laws? Would you go and tell, are you the only one mother-in-law here? I'm sure there are more, all right? Would you do such an unusual thing, you know? But somehow, Ruth was willing to comply. And then somehow, Boaz said yes. And that became a beautiful story. It became such a wonderful blessing. And I think today, as we read this chapter, just allow God speak to me, speak to you. God's richest blessings often process through different individuals. All right? He allow your participation, my participation in it. And how we react and how we act in this by faith to actually bring forth the manifestation of his blessings in our lives, in other people's lives. So let's beware, okay? Is it coming? No? Can you help me to flick on to? Yeah. So I have three points to share in this 25 minutes. Naomi's requisition in verses 1 to 4. Ruth's reaction, but with action, in verses 5 to 9. And Boaz's recognition, verses 10 to 13. So first point, Naomi's requisition. It's quite an unusual request. My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. I mean, Naomi already, she has a home. And Ruth stays with her. So what does she mean by providing her a home? And then, in verse 2, go to the winnowing barley on the threshing floor. I mean, go to the sky. He's winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Now you wash yourself, put on perfume, and get dressed, and go there and lie at his feet. For Chinese parents, for China, it's very mind-boggling. What did it mean? When I first read this chapter, I thought, Boaz maybe having a party there, you know, and because it was after eating and drinking, so it must be quite a happy occasion. But really, winnowing barley actually was hard work. Even still today in some oriental countries, they do that, the winnowing. It's kind of like separating the chaff from the wheat or the barley. They actually did it in the evening breeze, right? They were kind of on the top, not in the valley anyway, but the higher ground where the evening breeze comes through, and they just hurled up all this barley, and the wind would just blow the chaff away, and the wheat or the barley just drop on the ground, and that's how they did it. And it's just like Psalm chapter 1, like the wicked will be like the chaff, the winds that blows away. So that was the illustration. Yeah. So it was not a party. Actually, it was a production plant. It was hard work. Everybody was working hard, days and night, because they had to chase with time. Because when the harvest was plenty, they had to process through all that. Otherwise, if the rain came, all the harvest would rot. So everybody worked hard, and Boaz was the owner, the boss, right? He had to be working even harder. He actually had to stay where where it was, and actually he slept there and woke up in the morning, worked hard, and the evening was days and nights. Had to do it. So when Naomi told Ruth to go there, so it was after a day of hard work. That's why he was sleeping like a hog, right? And Naomi told Ruth, now put on perfume and well dressed well, and go there. And it's somehow this gesture is a gesture of kind of a signifying her mourning because she lost her husband, right? It's over now. Okay? You pull off your sackcloth and pull on your best clothes. Now go and find this man. It's a marriage proposal. Go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. Because I want to find a home for you. Now, the time that they came back from Moab, okay, the harvest of the barley, all right, Boaz being kind to them, so the immediate needs had been cared for, all right. But what about the future needs? What if the next year the harvest was not as good? What if Boaz kind of changed his mind? So Naomi, as an ordinary woman, she has been through all this hardship. You know, three people died in this family. So she had to plan. She can't be satisfied with the immediate needs resolved, all right? So she has to plan. She had to make sure she in her old age, and also her daughter-in-law, is going to be cared for. Right? That's very common, very acceptable. So us here We worry about our studies, our relationships, our family, our financial situation, is things working out or not. It matters to God. Don't think it's too small a thing. God cares for us. Just think about your parents or your grandparents migrated over from China, mostly China, right? Hong Kong, right? My granddad came here in the late 19th century, 1890 something. He got kind of a cheap labor and was working in Arrowtown, gold mining. He wasn't actually digging gold for himself, right? He was digging gold for others. Yeah, he had to pay £100 tax at that time. And little he knew, because China was so hard at the time, his family was starved to death. So he had to come over. But little he knew, he came and established a clan down in Dunedin, right? I think our clans must be about over 100 people with all the intermarriages and things like that. So mom came, it was after the Second World War, during the Civil War, she fled. And with my other family members, it was started with about 5 people. I'm the ninth one, right? And actually I had four brothers and sisters died after the Second World War. Alright. So we started about 5 people, and because granddad was in Arrowtown, so the nearest town was Dunedin. So we all grew up in this remote place. And just imagine, I came from Hong Kong. I was about 13 years old. All from the busy, bustling city and come to Dunedin. Goodness me. But little she knew, that gesture, fleeing, escaping from China just to get better living. And today, in our immediate family and our extended family, about 50 in all, half of them are devout Christians now. It will be impossible in China. You know what I mean? God cares. We think, it's like Moab, like Naomi, escaped to Moab. Oh, but worse things happened. And then I had to go back to Judah. Hey, is God there? Is he caring for me? He does care. Just say to yourself, in your terrible situation, in your circumstances, is God there? You may be yelling at him. But let the story of Ruth confirm the love of God. He cares. He is there in the darkest of the moments. And then Ruth's reaction. Now, what was going through Ruth's mind, you know? I will do whatever you say. But it was not just a reaction. It came with a faith action. So she went. Now, bear in mind, she was a Gentile woman, a Moabite girl, going to a place where no woman's supposed to be. And then, with her submission to Naomi, what if Boaz says no? Can you imagine that kind of, she would be very restless going in the middle of the night and uncover someone's feet, someone's cover and slip down and sit and slip at his feet. She would not be sleeping until Boaz woke up. What would be going through the mind of this Gentile woman? But she did it anyway, by faith. And you know, this faith, I don't think it was blind faith. Even though she was a Moabite woman, but she got married into the Jewish family, right? Yes, hardship. Terrible happenings. But I believe Naomi and the family would have taught her about the laws of Yahweh, the Jewish laws, right? And the fact that the relationship between Naomi and Boaz with that kind of close, intimate relationship reflect some sort of a faith-based appreciations. Otherwise, she would not just because, mother-in-law, you told me to do that, I'll just comply. I believe there was some understanding, even though there was not all, alright? But she was based on some understandings of the religion of Israel, the Yahweh faith, and that she was willing to do that. Okay? And yeah, when she said to, verse 9, she said to Boaz, "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." Right. Now, this phrase, they would understand it between them too. All right? Because in chapter 2, in verse 12, Boaz said to Ruth, he said, "May the Lord repay you richly, the one for what you have done. May he reward you richly, because under his wings that you have come to take refuge." This was what Boaz said to Ruth. And now Ruth replied with this sentence, "Spread the corner of your garment over me." Now, if you knew the original language, whose wings you come to take refuge, and the corner of your garment, they're actually the same words. Boaz said, "Oh, may the Lord cover you, take care of you, protect you." And Ruth said, "All right, you act as that wings. You protect me." And they would know each other's in their conversation, what Boaz would exactly knew what Ruth was requesting. And because Ruth said, "You are my guardian redeemer of our family," in the Jewish traditions, all right, in Leviticus, with one a man dies, and the next of kin, the closest of the relatives, has the obligation to buy back. That's what called a kinsman redeemer, right? To buy back the land, to buy back the properties, even to buy back the house, the wife. So to extend the brother's family and the belongings so that it won't kind of stop, right? But the thing is, the property was not under the redeemer's name. It was under the brother's name. The wife, the firstborn, it was not under his, it was under the deceased. So not everyone was willing. But here, the challenge from Ruth, okay, you willing? Take me. You act as the protection for me. Now, Ruth was some kind of it was a faith reaction to Naomi and a faith reaction to Boaz. That kind of faith reaction, we all have to exercise, not just at the time that we came to Christ. Even from then to now until the very last breath of my life, we need to exercise that. I've been a moksi for 30 something years now. Every day there was this kind of challenge. You know, I came this morning and I said, "I've never been to CACC English. Oh, what am I going to say? Lord, I need to exercise faith. Are these guys going to be kind to me? Are these guys going to criticize my English? Whatever. You know, I have to exercise my faith, and Lord, may you give me strength and courage to speak your word. Little things like that, bigger things, bigger hurdles, you know. I like that song, you know, where I sing you on the mountains, but I sing even the mountains before me. I think Ruth demonstrated that kind of faith that we all have to learn, all have to exercise. And lastly, Boaz's recognition. I will do that. I will do for all you ask. But hold on, there's another guy who's closely related than me. If he's not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. All right, when I first read the book of Ruth, I thought, oh, now this Boaz, dirty old man. He saw the younger girl, Cantonese said, San Ji Mao Yap Nan. And I thought, I had this kind of Boaz. But really, you see, the author actually depicted Boaz was a noble man. He was well reputed amongst the people. See, in chapter 2, verse 1, a man of standing. That's how the author described Boaz. And the fact that he allowed people to glean in his fields, you know, in the time of judges, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. There was no king. So not many people would have observed the Mosaic laws. The fact that he was willing. So it showed that he was a man of God. He was willing. Nothing immoral happening in the relationship. In fact, Boaz actually did not have to. He was not obliged to take Ruth. He was significantly older. That's why he called Ruth my daughter. You know, sometimes God will present some challenges to us to walk an extra mile, to do something more gracious that even more than my responsibility. Are we willing as Boaz? Am I willing to do the extra thing, the gracious thing that we can do to our brothers and sisters or even to our families? And somehow, we do that, we fulfill the word of God, the purpose of God. Think about it. Often, Chinese, we're very, very good at sweeping our snows in front of our house. We don't worry about the frost on the roof of others. Right? We do our own things. But somehow, as Christians, God presents these opportunities for us to do good, to be gracious. How are we to respond? And because of Boaz's recognition, the marriage took place. And because of the marriage, in chapter 4, a son was born, Obed. Who was he? He was the grandfather of David. And through this family line, the Savior came out from it. How would they have guessed? Boaz, an old man, married a Gentile Moabite woman. And here started a blessed family line that went through that down to the Messiah, Jesus, the Savior of the whole world. How would they have just guessed? So, things happening to you may be concerning. Maybe we can't see much. We're struggling. Yes, they are real. But God cares. And if we lay by faith, we react to His sovereignty, willing to submit ourselves, do what He tells us, we don't know. We might not even in our lives can see the full story. But they will become the channels of God's blessings. This was why my mom was. She came here in 1962 with two other brothers and a sister. So they all went down to Dunedin. And hard life. Early migrants. Well, they were not the first generation. My grandpa was. But still, in the 60s, it was quite hard. You know, if you want to see a one-ton soup, nowhere to be found, right? And today we have the luxury of choosing this and that. Oh, which is better? Which is better, Lita? Which? Well, you know, we have choices today. It was nothing like that at the time. And I came 10 years after them and was plucked from Hong Kong and implanted into this foreign place in Dunedin. And I was a teenager, right? It was horrible conflict with my mom, right? Because we were 10 years separated from one another. So it was horrible conflict, all right? And we were working at the takeaways. You know, kind of, we was boxed in a little shop. And if you've been running a takeaway, you know, food business, how hectic, how stressful it could be, you know. And so it was terrible. But the thing is, the amazing thing was, the Lord somehow changed this rebellious young guy, and I became a Christian somehow. It was Chinese church in Dunedin. Have you been anyone studying in Dunedin before? Just you. All right. You don't go, all right. No, actually, well, I mean, you study well because there's nothing else to do there, right? and there was a Chinese church there at that time, just one Chinese church. But there was a church committee there, all five of them, but none of them were Christians, right? There was no Chinese pastors. There was no Chinese Christians among the clans down there. And somehow God, with the Bible, with prayers, with the things that I, the wrongs that I committed, somehow the Lord turned me back quite amazingly. And Mom says, hey, this son's life's changed. Who's this Jesus? Oh, well, I'll listen. And she was listening to me. And somehow that the relationship mended. And then we got baptized. We got baptized in Auckland Chinese Baptist because there was nothing down there. So we had to fly all the way to Auckland, got baptized, and then went back to Dunedin, right? And the Lord started some ministry for us down there to preach the gospel amongst our relatives. Quite amazing. So I was preaching already in my 20s. And I didn't know what I was preaching, but anyway, God used anyway. But somehow, the Lord provided an opportunity for me to finish the takeaway business and to do some studies in Laylaw, Bible College of New Zealand at the time. And Mom said, no. Now, we're serving the Lord here. You know, old Chinese parents, you know. Ah, you're doing good. We're doing good. We serve the Lord. We earn money. Yeah, yeah, you can do anything. Can be any seas, but not Mok seas, right? Yeah. So she rejected the idea. All right, but the Lord had greater power and greater plan. The evening I said, I gave her that proposal, the next morning she came to me, she said, well, if the Lord wants to use you, I can't stop you. What happened? The Lord gave her a dream that night, a divine dream, and that changed everything. I wouldn't be standing here if the Lord did not speak to her through that dream. I'm not saying all dreams are from God, right? There's some dream with anybody daydreaming now, you know? But if the Lord does speak, and the next year we went, and I had 3 years in Hong Kong, 3 years in Bible college, and then the Lord called me back to Hong Kong for formal theological studies. So the second picture was, yeah, I went. And I by faith, I reacted. And I acted. And I had 15 years there. Right? And the Lord blessed me with my wife. We met my wife at a church that I kind of served intern. And then I stayed for another 10, 15, 13 years. And little Carol's a book. Yeah, that's little Carol's a little troublemaker. Yeah. And 2002, the Lord called us back here. And from then on, PCBC. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord would even use me. So I think this chapter will remind us, if we're willing, the Lord can use all the circumstances that we are experiencing. Just think, some of the concerns that we have, what significance in God's sight? And how do we exercise trust and obey in these challenging situations? And what may be some of the opportunities in life that we can exercise graciousness to others? Shall we pray? Father, just thank you for your word. May you speak to us and comfort, to transform, to remind, and to guide, that we as your blessed people to continuously walk in your will. In Jesus' name, amen.